This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey everyone, just a reminder to tell Joe's mom she looks like she lost weight because I accidentally parked on the grass again.
Hey guys, mics are hot. Quiet on the set.
Live from the YouTube machine, it's the Stacking Benjamin Show. On today's roundtable discussion, how do you create systems to better control your environment and improve productivity? And how do you put better systems in place for your health so you can enjoy all those Benjamins you've stacked? During the first half of the show, we'll chat with three high-performing professionals, including a guy whose retirement strategies are home runs, Rob Berger, and a woman whose financial advice is tops, CFP Dana Ansbach. And finally, the designated hitter of the stacking team from Afford Anything, Paula Pant. But that's not all. Halfway through the show, I'll share my colossal trivia question. And in the second half of today's podcast, we'll chat with MetPro's health and wellness guru, Angelo Poli. And now, the Casey Stengel of Stacking Benjamins, it's Joe Saul-Sehy.
Hey, everybody, and happy Friday to you. You know, if you had to look up who Casey Stengel was, well, then you're not alone.
Yeah, well, and they didn't get any of the other baseball references in the intro either.
None of them at all. But it's a great day to be a baseball fan. It's a great day to be a money geek because we've got a prestigious panel with us today. By the way, before we get to our panel, hang out at the end of today's show, the back porch. Got some big announcements, Doug. Big announcements. We are headed out on the road. Also, some announcements about the show. So make sure you stick around for the end of today's show. But we'll get to that later. Today's show is brought to you by State Farm. If you're a small business owner, it isn't just your business, it's your life. Whatever your business might be, you want someone who understands. That's where State Farm Small Business Insurance comes in. State Farm agents are small business owners too and know what it takes to help you personalize your policies for your small business needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm's there. Talk to your local agent today. We are going to dive into the productivity that all small business owners and people just trying to manage their lives have with these wonderful people on our screen here on YouTube. Let's start with the woman who's originally from Nepal, the place I got home from just recently. Paula Pant is here. How are you?
I am great. It was so cool seeing a picture of you and your spouse and my sister. It's like the colliding of these two worlds, right? I've got my world in the United States with Stacking Benjamins. And then I've got, of course, my world in Nepal. And those two worlds typically never overlap.
She was so cool.
She is very cool. She's the cool sister.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. No offense, Paula. You're wonderful.
Yeah, no, it's true. It is 1,000% true. She is the cool sister. She is 7 years older than me. And so I always looked up to her, you know, when I was 11 and she was 18, like so cool. Yeah.
You know how you always start with? You always start with, so what do you do for a living? And she's like, I'm a documentary filmmaker. I'm like, oh,
Wow. So the same month that that my movie on Netflix came out, she had a three-part series on Netflix in the same month.
Right? You'll never be enough. You'll never be enough.
Paula. That's such a big sister move. It is
such a... Oh, you had one thing on Netflix? How cute.
Yeah.
That's so great.
Well, and hers, if anybody wants to watch it, I'm going to plug it right now. Oh, shoot. What was it called? I think it was
about the earthquake.
Earthquake, yeah. I think it might have been called Earthquake or Aftershock. I don't remember.
We'll link to it, Paula, in the show notes, because I will find it and we will link to it. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. Yes. It's all about the earthquake that happened in Nepal in 2015.
Great stuff. And boy, that was just still the effects of that earthquake as we went around Kathmandu.
Yeah.
It was incredible. By the way, Nepalese people, amazing. But this is not the Nepal show. This is a show about productivity. And let's say hello to a gentleman who I think of as maybe the most productive man in personal finance. Rob Berger's here.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well, man. How are you?
I've never been to Nepal. I've been to Naples. I don't know. Probably not the same thing.
Just one vowel off.
And I've never had a show on Netflix, but I have subscribed to Netflix. So I feel kind of a bond here. I don't know how.
I know, Rob. I felt the same. I'm like, I watched Netflix this morning. Do I get any points for that? Yeah. So for people that don't follow your brand, you were Mr. Dough Roller. Now you are Mr. YouTube. You've got this awesome YouTube channel where you have a lot of fun.
It is. It's a blast. It's about retirement. Basically, my own attempts to figure it out and not run out of money before I die is basically the goal. We'll see how I do. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Well, I think knowing you for a long time, Rob, you're going to do just fine. I'll preview the ending. You're going to do just great. And a woman who's also, I'm sure, doing just great from her perch in Arizona, Dana Ansbach, joins us. How are you?
I am doing great, and I also do not have a documentary or anything on Netflix, but I am listed in the IMDb and had a brother who was trying to be an actor in New York City for years, and then I was on some Business Fox show for maybe 30 seconds, and somehow that got me listed in there, and so it became a joke in the family. I got there before you did.
You're like, you could say that at parties now, Dana. You're like, you know who I am? I'm on IMDb. Well, tell everybody about Sensible Money and what you do.
We are a financial services firm that actually specializes in making sure retirees don't run out of money. So I understand what you're going through, Rob. It's what we help people with. It's all we do. And we have those kind of conversations all the time. How much is someone going to spend? How long it's going to last? How do we make it last longer? And all of the anxiety. It's a really different phase of life where you have to be more careful about the decisions you make financially.
Well, I'm so glad that you're here with us, along with Rob and Paula and neighbor Doug and I. We are about to talk about not retirement today. We're going to talk about productivity. You guys, I think none of the three of you think of yourself as productivity experts. However, you get a lot done in the areas that you want to get done. And I think of the three of you as people who really take control of your life instead of life taking control of you. So we're going to talk about that today on our health and wellness episode. But before that, we need to keep this show free for everybody. So if you can hang out with us for just a couple minutes while we hear from our awesome sponsors, we'll be right back to start the show. This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. Well, if you're new to Stacking Benjamins, you may not know that I've tried out a lot of personal finance apps. I like to be a guinea pig and try out all these things. So I know what I'm talking about when it comes to what's helpful and what isn't helpful. And the app that I've used the longest has been Monarch Money. And it's because Cheryl and I, my spouse, were able to collaborate together. We can work on our goals together, and our budget and our goals are right next to each other on the app. It is clearly the next generation of personal finance app. So what is it? Monarch is the top rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now Because you're a stacker, you'll get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/Benjamins. I love the fact that we get to collaborate. I love the fact that it's customizable. And I also love that it's this ad-free privacy you can trust. They never sell your data to third parties or show you ads. After trying out Monarch myself, I totally get why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, because you're a stacker, you're going to get an extended 30-day free trial to try it out like I try out many different apps. And this one was sticky for me because, well, you'll see when you try out the 30-day free trial. Go to monarchmoney.com/Benjamins. That's monarchmoney.com/Benjamins for your extended 30-day free trial. All right. We got Rob, Dana, and Paula here. Let's get moving. All right. The inspiration for today's piece comes from a blog I used to read a lot. I don't know, guys, if you guys used to read this blog all the time, though. It is Zen Habits. Rob, have you read Zen Habits?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Many, many times.
I don't know if he wrote less or if I just stopped reading him so much. Do you still read him consistently?
Yeah, I read almost everything through a feed. And so when things get published, I see it. And so I've kept up with it. I don't know what his publishing schedule is now. But yeah, I've kept up with his blog for quite a long time.
Yeah. Paula, Dana, do you guys read Zen Habits?
I used to, back in 2011, 2012, 2013, I used to read a lot of blogs. And at that time, I loved Zen Habits. It was one of my top. And it still is. I still love it. But I just don't read blogs anymore.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Me too. I think you and I are on the same train there, Paula. Dana, how about you?
I hadn't seen it before. It was sent out right before the show. So no, I'd never heard of it.
Yeah, Leo has a great point here. He says, how to break dependence on the phone. And the reason this is important to me, guys, is that I've been reading recently a book by an author who I saw her TED Talk recently. Her name's Catherine Price. For people watching us on YouTube, I'll put the book here. It's called The Power of Fun, which is how to feel alive again. And she has a chapter in here about why we feel dead inside. That is the title of the chapter, why we feel dead. You know why she says we feel dead? We feel dead because of our phone and what our phone is doing to us physiologically, that we are consistently getting these dopamine hits from our phone, which makes us bored with everyday life. We find that some of the prefrontal cortex work that our body usually has in place, the wizards of technology have found a way to get around this safeguard where usually they go, whoa, hey, that's enough dopamine. We continue to get more. There's so many scientific reasons why our phone is bad for us. I want to ask all of you guys, what is the phone stolen from you? Dana, let's start with you. Have you ever had a time where you had to go, whoa, wait a minute, the phone's ruining my life?
Well, it probably almost stole this show appearance from me. As you guys know, I almost missed showing up on time. It was on my calendar. I had reminders. I was trying to finish something for a client before the show started. My phone usually stays face down on my desk. It always has to be near me because you have all the two-factor authentications now to get into everything. Yeah. But usually I leave it face down so I won't see any kind of incoming calls or texts. You know, Karen's emailing me saying, Dana, hey, are you showing up on this YouTube show? They're starting in 60 seconds. That's a prime example right there of how just not being really conscious about when you pick it up and when you do, it can just totally get you sucked down the rabbit hole.
But what's funny is in this case, it feels like it was half you trying to get away from your phone, right? You put your phone face down, you turn your notifications off because, as you know, those will kill your productivity.
Yep. I went through a leadership course. It's a company called Stegan that offers this leadership course, and they have a whole section titled Lose the Electronic Leash. It's all about turning your notifications off. So all my notifications on every app of my phone are turned off. All my sound stays off. Now, my family doesn't like it because I don't respond to text messages instantly, right? My phone might stay in the other part of the house. But it's amazing, as much as I try to be intentional about it, leaving it face down at work so I wouldn't hear a text come in, but I'd still see it if it was face up. Reading that blog, it's like, yeah, I still wonder how many times I pick it up a day. Probably a lot more than I think.
Yeah, I didn't realize how much I picked up my phone until I started reading Catherine Price's book. And then I thought, no, I'm pretty good with this. And I thought, I still suck at this. I thought I was good. Rob, how about you? Has there been a time when the phone was killing productivity?
Absolutely. In a couple of ways. I mean, one was I would use it to fill up all of the dead space in the day, but also including when I'm with family, friends, or at a stoplight, I would find myself on my phone. And I would put it places where I couldn't get it. So if my wife and I go out for dinner, I give it to her. I either don't take it in the restaurant or I give it to her and she puts it in her purse. That was just the only way I could. Maybe I just don't have the self-discipline. I needed to get away from it. And I took a number of apps off. So that was one thing. In terms of productivity, and this is still an issue, I haven't conquered this one, but I play a lot of speed chess. I know, real exciting stuff, but speed chess online, whether it's the phone, my iPad, the computer, and it can zap literally hours from the day. And so I've had to really fight that in terms of productivity. I do it a couple of different ways. One is to just use my laptop, because if you ever want to play speed chess, the laptop is not the way to do it. It's just too difficult. And so if I really want to be productive, I get away from the phone or the iPad or the desktop, where I could be sucked into playing 2 hours of speed chess, and I'll just use my laptop to write or whatever I'm doing. And that helps me get past that. But yeah, playing online chess has been a big productivity killer for me.
It's interesting how initially it's fun, but later on you feel like it's not, Rob, true fun. Catherine Price calls it true fun. It's kind of garbage time.
Well, it's fun when I'm winning, not so much fun when I'm losing. I don't know. But the thing is, I play on chess.com. And they will give you a summary. You spent, you know, 500 hours this past year. You know, the number of hours I spent. Now, they give you the summary. It was eye-opening.
I love what you said about, though, filling in the dead time.
Yeah.
Because one thing Catherine Price talks about in her book, and something that Leo kind of hints at here, which is the boredom. Boredom is great for creativity. And we become much less creative in our life, and we don't give ourselves time to get the wheel spinning. And every time we pick up our phone, I mean, the people behind technology are very happy to fill every single moment of our day with stuff that, by the way, also doesn't help us physiologically. Like, my ability to go out and go for a walk is gone if I can fill it by just flipping through my phone. Like, my body gets that hit right away. I think OG referenced a study on a recent show about that too, about how if we watch videos of people working out, our body feels like, our brain is like, okay, well, I got the workout stuff done, even though you didn't do anything, right? Physiologically, you got none of it, but your brain's like, oh yeah, man, I feel great. Paula, how about you and the phone?
Instagram. Instagram is my Achilles heel. It happened today where I needed, or I wanted to put up a post on Instagram. So I wanted to, you know, that there's consumption and creation, right? I wanted to go on Instagram as a creator and make a reel about episode 500, a particular podcast episode that just came out. What happened instead? All of a sudden, I'm scrolling. Who knows how much time passed? And then I look up in a daze and I'm like, well, what was I doing? What? Why am I here? What was I doing again? You know, put the phone down, go back to, and then I'm like, oh, that's right. I wanted to make a reel. Pick the phone back up again.
It is so frustrating. Instagram was that for me, Paula, until I discovered TikTok. Once I discovered TikTok, then TikTok became my giant sucking sound. That algorithm's got me. It knows exactly what, ooh, look at this, model trains. And then right after that, ooh, movies. Ooh, look at long distance running video. Like all these crazy, whatever I like, the TikTok algorithm has totally got me. Well, speaking of that, let's talk about Leo's tips here, because he starts off, Dana, number one, he says, become more mindful of your phone usage. And you referenced that. The reason I came to you was you referenced that maybe you need to start keeping track of how often you go to your phone.
Yeah, I think keeping track of it. And for me, the mindfulness also has to do with the notifications. I mean, think about how many things you have dinging at you and making noises and popping up and, you know, just how many are really important or have any meaning. And so turning those all off had made a huge difference for me, just because even when I did pick up my phone, they weren't sucking my attention in. My nemesis is Twitter. So it's Instagram for Paula and TikTok for you, Joe. It's Twitter for me. Like, I love just reading everybody's comments and things like that. And then, of course, I would realize I was spending an hour every morning when I would wake up with coffee just scrolling through Twitter. And so now I've given myself 15 minutes, and what I probably need to do is set a timer with like the old kitchen baking timer, right?
Yeah.
And just be like, done, right? When that goes off, you're going to go work out now. You're going to do something else, but you're going to put the phone down and you're going to give yourself a time limit. But that would be part of that mindfulness.
I got to say, Dana, turning off notifications was a number one for me. And how do you, though, Dana, how do you then set aside time? You talked about, you know, we had this guy on at the beginning of the year, Eric Qualman, who talked about something he called cowboy fencing, where he would take amounts of time and he would block them off on his calendar. And it was specifically for X activity that had nothing to do with, you know, the phone, of social media, of whatever, and notifications off during this hour, I'm doing this thing. It sounds like you're doing a little bit of that too.
Well, my notifications just stay off permanently. So ever since I first tried that, it was several years ago now, it was like a relief. Like, I remember the first week I did it, it was so peaceful and calm feeling. It was like, wow. You know, same on my computer. No email pop-ups, no Slack pop-ups. Like, I choose, you know, when I want to go focus my attention on these things. So, you know, I'll just never forget that calm, peace feeling. So I never want to go back, right? I don't want to go back.
Yeah.
But in terms of setting time slots, like, I haven't gotten that specific. But typically, my time to browse on Twitter would never be during the day, right? It's first thing when I have coffee in the morning, or it's I get home after work and my husband might still be finishing up. And so I just have that dead time that Rob was talking about, right? And so my dead time will get used up by going and browsing on Twitter. Now, I haven't found anything else yet that I would replace that with. Partly, I guess, I get a lot of good ideas from Twitter. So maybe in my brain, it's not entirely dead time. Where I used to feel like I wasted time was Facebook. So I just don't go on anymore. Right. That's where I'll get into the endless scrolling of things on Facebook. So those kinds of things that I felt like they weren't adding any value, I took them out. I was like, I don't want to spend time doing this anymore.
I do love two ideas there. Number one is figuring out what it is about Twitter that works for you. What is it about social media that's working for you? Instead of just doing the doom scroll, like Paula and I were talking about, instead of doing that, going, this is what I'm here to do. I'm here to get creative ideas for my next piece. And then setting that timer, I really like around for 15 minutes. Rob, you talked about with other people, right? Being at dinner with your spouse and putting the phone down or handing it to your wife. I love that idea too. What other hacks do you use to make sure that that phone is put in its place?
Well, I've taken some apps just completely off my phone. The downside is it's pretty easy to put them back. So, you know, that doesn't necessarily solve the problem, but it's worked for me. I don't have a lot of the social media apps on my phone. The other thing I do, and this goes beyond just the phone, but it kind of gets to the timer issue that Dana mentioned, but this is a little different, is I will set up 25-minute increments where I'm going to work for 25 minutes. I set a timer. It's long enough to get something done, but it's short enough so that like 3 minutes in and I think to myself, I really want to check my phone or in my case, play speed chess. It's a short enough time period that I can resist it and get 25 minutes of work in, which kind of sounds pathetic now that I say it, but you know, I actually get a fair amount done in that short spurt and then, you know, maybe take 5 or 10 minutes to do whatever. And so I'll cycle through those 25-minute sessions. And actually, for me, that's worked really well, and I get a lot done.
I got to say something else, Rob, too, that you kind of brought up, and I'm not sure where to bring this up, so I will now, is that when you're in a conversation with somebody, you talked about being at dinner with your spouse, the thing that drives me crazy is when somebody has a smartwatch on, and they've got their notifications on, and they continually get their notification bump, and they check it.
I'm sorry, Joe, can you repeat that? What was that again? I think I normally kind of do okay in that area. I probably am annoying in countless other ways in a conversation, but I think for the most part, I avoid the notification syndrome.
Well, but that's what I like about you. The reason I want to bring it up was that I like the fact that you hand the phone to your spouse or you turn it upside down. Paula, how about you? What are some things you put in place to make sure that Instagram doesn't kill your whole day?
Oh, there are a few things. Number one, on the topic of watches, I don't have any notifications set up on my watch. The only thing that I get on my watch is if I'm in a loud environment that's over 90 decibels, my watch will buzz. I think that's pretty much the only notification that I get.
Can you set it up ahead of time where it's over 90 decibels? It actually
wow.
gives you notifications
yeah.
only
yeah, yeah.
then?
Go into Apple Health.
That's cool.
That is cool.
So that I leave set up because if I'm in a loud environment, it reminds me to put earbuds in. And so I have earbuds attached to my keychain. Not earbuds, earplugs.
Earplugs.
I mean. Earplugs.
Yeah. And what else do you do?
So with regard to Instagram, I have a timer set up on my phone. I get an allotment of 30 minutes per day. And after 30 minutes, it times out. The workaround, however, is that when it times out, this little thing pops up on the bottom of the screen that's like, you can choose like one more minute, 15 more minutes, or ignore for today. And it's like the equivalent of hitting the snooze button. I definitely keep hitting the like 15 more minutes, you know, but it does make it conscious because, you know, you can hit the 15 more minutes button once, but if you do it like two or three times, you're like, okay, this is my third time hitting the 15 more minutes button. This is yeah. This is a problem now.
Is there a way to change that though? I mean, I like the idea of you're like, okay, I need more minutes, but maybe 15 is too long. Maybe you could do it every five. Can you change it?
Yeah, I'm not aware. Like
automatic shutdown, you know, so it just overrules you and says, nope, sorry, dude, too many days in a row. We're shutting you down.
I've looked into it. Those are your options. And so I have honestly just gotten to hitting ignore for today because I know I'm not disciplined enough to just put it down. Oh yeah, I'm a failure.
I think one of the big keys for me on this topic is education. The more you find out how physiologically your phone is subverting all of the natural instincts that we have and how technology's gotten around that, like this book, The Power of Fun, scared the hell out of me. Like it completely, I went, wow, I am wrecking my life by not being in control. Biggest thing in this piece that we really didn't spend much time talking about, Dana, that you'd like to try going forward, or biggest takeaway from Leo's piece here, what would you say that it is?
Well, I want to try that timer that Paula just mentioned. I didn't know that was a setting on the phone. And so I think that's really interesting. I would love an alert to come up, like for me, for Twitter, you know, sorry, 15 minutes. So I really like that idea.
Yeah. Rob, how about you?
Well, I think awareness is sort of the big thing. I think he mentions maybe actually recording all of your time, which is probably not something that I would do. But, you know, at least with iPhones, they have an app that will tell you, you know, weekly or whatever, how much time you've spent on different apps. And that to me can be, that's pretty eye-opening. And it doesn't stop me from playing more speed chess, by the way. But you can't fix a problem until you're at least aware that you have it. And so that to me was an important part of what he was saying.
It's funny how this tracks with other goals too. You know, we talked about retirement planning earlier.
That's awful.
Like you can't fix a problem unless you're aware of it. Yeah. You can't fix your retirement unless you know where the issues are. I love how this tracks to other goals. Paula, how about you?
Well, so one of the pieces of advice that Leo Babuda on Zen Habits gave reminded me, it echoed advice that I heard from Professor Cal Newport, who also covers this, and it is replace it with other meaningful activities. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Newport, he actually ran an experiment once where he had a group of individuals. He tried to get them to remove social media from their phone for 30 days. And what he found was that the people who tried to just like white knuckle their way through it and operate with just sheer willpower didn't make it. But the group that was most likely to have social media removed from their phone for 30 days were people who consciously started incorporating other meaningful activities into their lives. So, and it could just be something as simple as, I'm going to go to the library, but things like that, he found that was a significant delineation.
It's funny you say that because Catherine Price, who I've referenced a few times, Catherine, she took up the guitar and joined a group of people that were learning to play the guitar. And she started rowing with a rowing coach and specifically filling that time with stuff that was more meaningful. So absolutely love that. And I also love, you know, how often, guys, have you heard that when it comes to financial success, discipline is the way to go? And yet, I think all three of us can agree, it's not about discipline. It's about systems.
Yeah,
absolutely.
100%.
With the right systems, you don't have to worry about the discipline other than to set the systems up. And then it takes care of itself.
Yeah. Yeah. Work on systems, everybody. All right. Unfortunately, that's going to do it for this part of the show. You know what? We're going to link to this piece from Leo Babuda. I'll also reference Catherine Price's book. I'll reference, I know that you interviewed Cal Newport, Paula Pant.
Mm-hmm.
We'll also put that in our show notes. We got Kevin here hanging out with us live on YouTube. So Kevin, make sure you put those in our show notes. Kevin does a fantastic job with our show notes here for all the episodes. In the second half of the show, we're going to talk health and wellness with Angela Poli from MetPro. we're going to continue. Now that we've hopefully helped you begin to curb your addiction to the phone, let's help you get better exercise, better food, and make more of those Benjamins you're stacking. But before we do that, we have at the midway point of every episode, this amazing cutthroat competition, which is a year-long trivia competition between our three frequent contributors, which are our own OG, who is not here today. So Rob, you'll play on behalf of OG. Also, Len Penzo, not here today. Dana, you'll play on Team Penzo. And Paula Pant is here. Paula, you're going to play on Team Paula, if you don't mind. That'll be fine.
Can I trade?
I was going to say, Paula, that brings up some good news and bad news. You want the good news first or the bad news?
Good news first.
Yeah, well, the good news is you get to guess last because, as Paula perennially is, she's in last place with three. OG and Len both have four. And the bad news for you, Dana, is that because Len is our winner from last year, you're going to guess first. And Rob, you're going to guess second. So
I have never been more nervous than I am right now.
As you should be.
Yes. My wedding day wasn't as scary as this.
High stakes here, Rob. High stakes. And if you didn't get it from our open, today's trivia question might be about baseball. But let's see.
Oh, no.
Pete Rose.
Hey there, Stackers. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. On this date in 1912, the first ever home run was hit at Fenway Park, leading the Boston home team to a 7-6 victory. You know, that's what's great about baseball. You just have to hit one ball one time and you're done with work for the day and everyone thinks you're a hero. Wish my job was that easy. I'm over here knocking jokes out of the park all show long and no fanfare. I'll be right back at it again tomorrow, like some kind of slave. Someone ought to suggest that Stacking Benjamin start an annual awards ceremony. It doesn't have to be anything big, you know, like the Emmys. I'm not asking for much. Just a little something to recognize me for my talents. I'd suggest it myself, but that would just be tacky. But back to the Red Sox. That April 26th victory was one of many in a season that led them to win the World Series that year. They went on to win three more World Series titles before suffering a grueling 86-year streak of sucking water right out of the back bay. I can't even imagine what it would feel like to lose that much. Glad I win all the time. Today's totally related trivia question is, what's the total payroll for the Boston Red Sox for the 2024 season? You saw that question coming, right? With all that lead up that I pretty much just gave it away the first 1,000 words. I'll be back right after I clear off a shelf in the basement for trophies. You know, just in case.
Just in case. All right, Dana, I know you're a big Boston Red Sox fan. Have you gone to see your Arizona Diamondbacks play?
I have, but long ago when I first moved here. So that was probably 20 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's
been a while. And we had right when I moved here, I can't remember if we won the World Series that year, but it was right around that time. All these questions running through my head, but I just have to throw something out there. So I will throw out, $352
million. $352 million.
Yep.
Mr. Berger, does that sound high to you or low?
Pete Rose. So like Dana, I have absolutely no clue, but do I get an over under? Is that my response? Well, I think that's high.
Well, then you got to pick a number that's lower than.
She's already set a number in my head that I can't get away from, but I'll say, I'll just round it off and say $300 million.
Paula Pant, you've got the last word.
Well, I guess I'll take the under for $299,999,999.
Oh, wow. $1 of chance, not $1.
I think you got exactly $1. Or did you do 99 cents?
Yeah, right.
I didn't do 99 cents, so you do have a dollar.
You got a dollar, Rob. And that's the way the game is played. All right, we got our guesses locked in. We'll be right back to see who's going to win this thing. Well, you know, when I think about Navy Federal, I think about the veterans that have done so much for our country. And I also think about some of our active service members. Want to say a special shout out to my nephews, Colin and Nathan, who are both in the Navy. Colin is stationed outside Seattle, Washington on a submarine, and my nephew Nathan is in South Africa as an air traffic controller. And in Military Appreciation Month, Navy Federal Credit Union wants you also to celebrate members, many of whom go above and beyond. Navy Federal offers member-only exclusive rates, discounts, and tools to empower their members and help them reach their goals. It's all branches of the military, veterans, DOD employees, and their family are eligible for Navy Federal membership. They offer 24/7 help from their U.S.-based member service. Visit NavyFederal.org/celebrate to see all of their Military Appreciation Month offers and other Navy Federal offers. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. And now a word from our sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Well, don't worry. Betterment is here to help. Betterment's the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal, rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line, and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money's breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money in the same way again. Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. Dana, you opened this up with, Doug, I don't remember the number. What's Dana's number?
352.
$352 million. So seeing what Rob and Paula did afterwards, how are you feeling?
You know, I feel okay with it. I just, you know, I don't know what their highest paid player is, but if I'm including managers, coaches, I don't know. I could be close.
I like how she keeps going back to that. Dana, I'm going to tell you something right now. Coaches and the popcorn, they're rounding errors.
That's right.
On the people that are really making up the bulk of this salary. So I don't think I'd worry about them.
Still, she got some room. Rob, you might feel a little suffocated with your 300 million number.
I have zero confidence in my guess. Zero. I would have less than that if it were possible.
And that might be because of Paula Pant.
Which, yeah. Yes. She undercut me. It's what happened.
Paul, are you about to make this a three-way tie?
Historically, whenever I take either the over or the under, I guess wrong.
It's exactly the opposite.
You know, you would probabilistically, you would think that I would guess wrong 50% of the time. But historically, I guess wrong 99% of the time. I don't know. It's the laws of probability are suspended.
It's
right?
It's like Paula finds a way to hit a seagull with every guess. It's incredible. But let's see if at $299.99, if she gets it, if Rob maybe squeezes in there between 350 and 300, or if it's over 350 million.
352. Doug,
who's going to win this thing?
Hey there, stackers. I'm mustard only Fenway Frank lover and pesky pole dancer, Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. Wait, that came out wrong.
Yeah, might have.
Okay. The very first home run scored at Fenway Park was hit by Red Sox first baseman Hugh Bradley. The visiting team, the Philadelphia Athletics, were so embarrassed by their loss, they moved to Kansas City, which didn't go that well for them either. And they just kept on running west to their permanent home, Oakland. They're never going to leave there. They'll be in Oakland forever. Their fans love them.
I think, Doug, they're about to leave Oakland as well.
Impossible. It'll never happen. Today's trivia question is, what is the total payroll for the 2024 Boston Red Sox? The answer? While Sox fans would argue that no budget is high enough for their beloved franchise, the total 2024 season budget is? Nah, I'm not going to tell you that easily, but what I will tell you is it's $172 million and some change less than Dana guessed and $120 million less than what Rob guessed and a mere $119 million less than what Paula guessed, because the correct answer is $180,260,347.64. That is a hell of a lot of Cracker Jacks, which means Paula is our winner.
Yay.
That never happens. I don't have a speech prepared.
Hey, bonus question, everybody. Rob, here's a chance to redeem yourself. How many more dollars is that than the Stacking Benjamin's annual budget?
A lot.
Yeah, if you take our $5.
Yeah.
And you add it to theirs. Yeah. Paula, what's coming up on Afford Anything?
On the Afford Anything podcast, we are airing episode 500. Episode 500 is a two-part episode, episode 500, part one and part two. In part one, I interview Brad Barrett, the host of the Choose FI podcast.
So wait, is 500 501?
No, 501 comes.
Oh, you're messing with the laws of math okay. And the universe. You can't do that.
I think my head hurts.
Think of it as 500A and 500B. So it's a two-parter. So we recorded this live at a comedy club in front of a live audience in Brooklyn. Brad Barrett came all the way up to New York City from Richmond, Virginia to be part of this show. And so I interview him about what has changed in the world of financial independence, but also, equally as important, what has not changed, what has stayed the same, what's been consistent and constant.
Isn't it super fun doing live episodes?
It is. It is. Yeah, the energy from the crowd is infectious.
Absolutely super.
And nothing can go wrong, and nothing will go wrong. Oh, God, it's all horribly wrong.
We'll link to episode 500. Congratulations, Paula.
Thank you. Congratulations to you on episode 1500.
Thank you. Thanks. It is a milestone. It's weird. It's milestone month here.
Yeah.
Mr. Berger, thanks for joining us again, man. Speaking of you, we didn't have an audience. We were kind of sheltered last time you were on. But we recorded a podcast live at FinCon last time you were on. But what do you got coming up on YouTube?
So I'm going to be returning back to live shows. I haven't done one in a while because I've had this blower back issue.
Oh, no.
But May 6th, I'll be back with a live show that I do every other week and answer questions from folks. It's a lot of fun. And a lot of content around the big three questions for retirees, right? How much can I spend without, you know, each year without going broke? In retirement, that's a big one. How do I invest my money in retirement? So a lot of content around that. And then another one is how in the world do you take all this money you've saved and actually turn it into a paycheck? That's really a lot of our content around those three sort of big topics. So got a lot of that coming up in the next few weeks as well.
Awesome. And that's it. I'm guessing youtube.com/Rob Berger.
If you just search Rob Berger, you'll find me. I guess it is Rob Berger.
Yeah.
I think that's right. I should know that, shouldn't I?
I think it is. That's good marketing there, Rob.
All that'll happen as long as I don't play too much speed chess.
That's right. Dana, thanks for joining us again.
Great to be here.
What's coming up is Sensible Money. I know last time you were here, you had a webinar coming up. You got any big stuff happening?
We do. We always have webinars coming up. And so our next one is actually on the role of annuities in retirement planning. So we do live webinars about every 8 weeks. This one's going to be on Thursday, June the 13th. And on one of my previous webinars, someone put in the comments, how come you never talk about annuities? And I thought, aha, I will do a webinar on that. So with interest rates higher, it's changed the dynamics. Now, we are a fee-only firm. We don't sell annuities. We aren't compensated by annuities in any way, shape, or form. So I feel like we can present a very objective way of looking at them. When do they fit? When would you use them? When would you not use them?
Wait a minute. You're not going to talk about getting some of the upside and none of the downside of the stock market while you participate and how great that is?
We are going to talk about that in the what to watch out for in annuity sales pitches right. part.
Right. Just how slimy can this get? Yeah, that's good. And we'll link to, and I'm sure you'll have that up at Sensible Money where people can find out more.
It is. It's in the bottom left of our homepage. You can see, you know, register for the webinar. And our YouTube is YouTube at Sensible Money. So I do know our YouTube handle, at least.
Excellent. Well, Dana, Rob, Paula, thanks for hanging out with us. Doug, I think we finished this segment. What's up next?
Joe, let's head to the second half of this potpourri podcast with you and MetPro's health and wellness expert, Angelo Poland.
Well, you know, spring, depending on where you're listening to this, is either right around the corner or it's arrived when Angelo Poli comes back in the second quarter to talk about health and fitness. How have you been, my friend?
I've been fantastic, Joe. Great to see you.
Good to see you. Haven't seen you since January, and my, how time flies. It feels like we just recorded the last session.
It does. It does.
Well, let's dive into you guys at MetPro, men and ladies at MetPro, have really dug into the data. You've got a bunch of, obviously, you're collecting data all the time. Tell me about this project that you did first. Let's start off there.
One of the neat things that we have at MetPro is a ton of what I deem as quality data. When I say quality data, I'm not referring to, you know, digital files. What I'm referring to is actionable, real data because it's from real people. A lot of times when you see different like studies that are trying to quantify the efficacy of a certain modality, you have such trouble getting the truth because of self-reported data that may be askew or biases or different interests. When we've had now tens of thousands of people come through our program, and they are now, admittedly, they're financially incentivized to follow through with the program. They are motivated by a coach and a community to follow through with the program. What does that mean? So as we're looking at the data, what we've done is we've tried to quantify it against the most well-researched, proven modalities out there. So we've done a research, kind of a, like a white paper, that has chronicled highlights, the most pertinent takeaways from understanding the effects of calorie restriction, carbohydrate restriction, exercise, and nutritional periodization. And those are kind of the four grandfather techniques people think about, if, especially professionals in the field, think about when it's time to work on health and fitness, wellness, nutrition, et cetera.
You guys just looked at this and you looked at these drivers to see which one really was a stronger driver of return on your investment.
Exactly. And you would put it just like that, Joe. The best return on investment.
Ninja.
I love it.
Ninja, right here.
So I get asked, and even when we did you know, questions from some of your community a few months ago, people want to know, how does it work? What are the most relevant modalities? And so what we strive to do is basically teach the real science and make it simple, because the goal out there is when you're hearing that there is this new approach just discovered, and you're hearing someone say, I eat donuts every day, but I can lose weight because of this one thing we've discovered. That is the marketing team that has put together that little ditty, not the research department.
Damn it. Damn it.
So what I'm trying to do is, though this is a 35-page white paper, what I'm trying to do is provide an overview to our clients and then to your audience and anyone who's interested of pros and cons and relevancy of different tactics people take to get healthy. And of course, you want MetPro, 83% of clients that reach out to us for some fitness goal have weight loss as a goal. So that is somewhat through the vantage point of sustained weight loss and metabolism. But basically, what's out there? And the answer is, when you look at hundreds, even thousands of peer-reviewed research papers, there are essentially four buckets. Now, within each bucket, we could talk for hours in different branches, but to encapsulate, here's essentially what you have: calories, carbohydrates, exercise, and periodization.
What does periodization mean? Because I don't know what that, I don't know what that even means. I know what the other three mean, but not periodization.
So periodization means manipulating degree, intensity, and timing. So we often refer to that with training periodization, periods of high intensity training, periods of recovery, high
volume training.
Fasting
would be under there then too?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So from a nutritional standpoint, fasting would fall into that category. The way that we find it's most relevant is cyclical nutrition. That doesn't necessarily have to be as extreme as fasting. But for example, periods of restriction for fat loss, followed by periods of increased fueling for enhanced athletic performance and metabolic revving to refresh that metabolic rate. That would be nutritional periodization.
Got it. Okay.
So here's pros and cons. That this is the bulk of the research. Now, granted, we're interpreting it, so there's your disclaimer. But this is real research that's been done and our conclusions in the trenches looking at this research. What we have realized is calorie restriction, here's a benefit. It can be introduced in a way that offers the dieter flexibility. That's one of the principal attributes of calorie restriction, is it's flexible. Most research agrees that total energy restriction is more influential than the method of restriction itself. However, not all methods of calorie restriction optimally support exercise, which is a component proven in the research critical for weight maintenance. Additionally, not all methods of calorie restriction produce equal maintenance of fat-free mass, equal maintenance of muscle. All methods of calorie restriction, if sustained, result in metabolic adaptation. And metabolic adaptation means your body getting used to less calories. So there's always a catch.
Okay, two things. The first one is, I think what I'm hearing there is all calories are not created equal. Number one,
true.
Because some calories that you consume, it sounded like you said, will support exercise better than others.
Correct.
So yes. Maybe means I can't drink a beer and then go run a mile.
You got it. But unfortunately.
Again, one star, not what I want to hear, Angelo, but that's number one. And then number two is obviously, and what you emphasize there at the end is that no matter what we try to restrict, if we try to restrict one of the caloric levers for a long period of time, that our body gets used to it.
Absolutely. Yes. So what this research is saying is basically overall, it's telling us that calorie restriction is still the gold standard for weight loss, but it is only a component. It's not all of it. And it's not all forms of calorie restriction are not created equal. There has to be a little bit of intelligence through its implementation. We have to implement it in such a way that we're still able to have energy for exercise. And here's the critical piece, that it does not dip into a scenario where the restriction is so severe that you get a backlash of metabolic adaptation. In other words, your metabolism slowing and acclimation to it. So there's a little bit of wiggle room with how you want to implement it. Now, what we do at MetPro is a multidisciplinary approach where we use calorie restriction, but we do so in partnership with all three other modalities. So I'll explain kind of that at the end. The next one is carbohydrate restriction. And this is probably one of the most frequently asked questions I get. Is carb restriction better or is calorie restriction better? And the answer is there are pros and cons to both. So here's essentially an overview of hundreds, really thousands of research papers when it comes to carbohydrate restriction. Carbohydrate restriction is less flexible than calorie restriction, with most research showing unremarkable results when only minor carbohydrate restriction is applied. In other words, carbohydrate restriction can work, but if you do it just a little bit, you usually don't see a whole lot of action. Carbohydrate restriction of significant magnitude has been shown to deliver greater total body weight loss than calorie restriction alone in many research papers. However, there's a big asterisk. Much of this can be accounted for by changes in water balance. So when you cut carbs, you also dump a bunch of water. Researchers are divided. That has been a theme in this research. Researchers are divided on the degree of benefits of carbohydrate restriction beyond that of calorie restriction. However, some studies have demonstrated greater appetite control along with greater total body weight loss, and I have observed both of those things at different times in our clients. And carbohydrate restriction, and here's the kicker, carbohydrate restriction of significant magnitude can adversely affect athletic performance.
Oh.
Now, typically, this isn't minor carbohydrate restriction. You have to really be full-blown here to experience this, but it can be fairly crippling. In fact, they biopsied muscles of endurance-trained athletes pre- and post-workout when they're participating in extremely low-carbohydrate diets, and the results were shocking at how poor their glycogen replenishment levels in their muscles were. So it absolutely can impair performance. And carbohydrate restriction results in greater carb sensitivity. Now, that doesn't need to be a permanent sensitivity, but it does result in greater carb sensitivity. So you have a little bit of a glass cannon approach with carb restriction. It can be potent, but there's a little bit more, wiggle room, let's say, or opportunity for backfiring if it's mismanaged. So that's where selecting the degree, how much are we going to lean into carbohydrate control versus calorie restriction, is really a critical question to answer. And what we have found with our clients is it is rarely all one or the other. Mm. However, we do find scenarios where by leaning a little more into one or the other produces a better outcome.
I'm just thinking as I listen to this that I didn't realize how fragile, from what you just said, how fragile the carbohydrate approach really truly can be. And man, if I'm trying to do that next half marathon, like buyer beware if you're going to cut your carbs. So really look at what you're training for. If you're a serious athlete, you know, the other levers are probably going to give you higher. And I love the term you used, efficacy. Efficacy is my favorite training term of all. Just what really, really matters. Just a wonderful, wonderful term. The other thing about carbohydrates, you know, when you talked about really drastically cutting carbohydrates can create more sensitivity. Are you talking about then if I reintroduce a carb into my system, it can wreak havoc much, much more than if I just take a moderated approach?
Absolutely. So that's one of the first conversations we have with our clients if they have been doing low carb dieting. So for example, somebody who's been cutting carbs can go away for a weekend with the guys or even a night out with the girls and come back the next morning 5 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
And they did not consume 10,500 calories.
They had an extra biscuit at dinner.
Right. They had a couple biscuits, a glass of wine, and they're 5 pounds heavier the next day. Mm-hmm. That is the carbohydrate cost, not the calorie cost. If you have someone who is eating carbs but cutting calories that has a blowout weekend, they could come back a pound or two heavier, but it is unlikely they're going to come back and see that huge spike on the scale. Now, not to get too technical here, but there's a mechanic behind that. Each gram of glucose or glycogen stored in the muscle or liver is buffered with 3 grams of water. So when you deplete your glycogen, that's where the rapid weight loss drop-off comes from, because you're also dehydrating your muscles to a degree. And when you replenish glycogen after a deficit, then you're also rehydrating muscles. And that's why all of a sudden the scale is sending you obscenities the next morning. It wasn't necessarily body fat shifts to that magnitude that took place. That's water fluctuations. And then there is a third component to that. And that is the body has a mechanic where when you have signaled to it decreases in carbohydrate intake, it'll actually hormonally put your body in a situation where it prioritizes glucose uptake. That's a mechanic that some of the sports nutritionists will take advantage of for athletes who are carb loading. Will sometimes actually decrease their carbs a few days out from race, so that way they're sensitive when we add carbs prior to race.
Bam.
Yeah. So there's just a lot more going on, and it's not a matter of good or bad. It's a matter of intention. You need to apply these principles and these modalities intentionally if you want to get the greatest result out of them.
This is absolutely great. So next is our timing, right?
Exercise first.
Exercise. And then our timing.
Yep. So exercise, and I'm just reading this from our, this is our overview on a 35-page
snippet.
Right. Exercise has been identified as a crucial part of weight loss maintenance. We're going to come back to that and why that's so critical. A large analysis of many studies found exercise present in 88% of weight loss studies deemed successful. Any research, any studies that was classified as that this was a successful weight loss effort, exercise was present in 88% of them.
Wow.
So if you are trying to be of the successful endeavors, you'll have a 12% chance if exercise isn't part of that, Research has shown there is a link between preserving lean muscle mass and combating metabolic adaptation. Aerobic exercise contributes to weight loss through increased energy expenditure, while resistance training preserves or builds lean mass and improves body composition. Most people understand that. Hybrid training may play a role in time-efficient training strategies, and recent studies suggest results can be optimized by considering body type and goals. Exercise increases total energy expenditure. Now, I'm going to say this next line twice because this is very relevant. Exercise increases total energy expenditure and reduces the degree of dietary restriction required for weight loss. While exercise may not eliminate metabolic adaptation, it will reduce its severity. Why should we care if exercise reduces the amount of restriction? Because most people, let me give you the real world in the trenches versions of working with Johnny last week, is, hey, Johnny, did you get your 30 minutes of exercise today? And he's like, yeah, it burned 175 calories. I'd rather just skip my apple. while it certainly seems, yeah, you know, I'm already miserable. I would just, look, I'll just eat an apple less. Let me skip the exercise. If you exercise, and even if it's only a marginal increase in your total daily calorie burn, what it's doing is it's allowing the threshold, and I'm just picking random ridiculous numbers, but let's just say I lose weight gradually at 2,000 calories a day. With exercise, I lose weight gradually at 2,150. Why does that matter to me? Because the enemy of weight loss, sustainable weight loss, is plateaus induced by metabolic drift, adaptive thermogenesis, or a broader term for all of it, which is called metabolic adaption. And that is the body's absolute ability to acclimate to lower intake and plateau your weight loss to prioritize surviving. And this is not something, listeners and friends, and I shout this out from the rooftops, that is going to be solved with a magic bullet, a pill, or a medical breakthrough. And here's why. That adaptive response is not a single hormone. It is a multitude of hormones in the body, including insulin, ghrelin, leptin. All your cellular mechanics are involved, even the brainstem and the hypothalamus, and basically every function and system in your body acclimates. It's not one smoking gun. It's death by a thousand cuts. It's every system in your body just slightly tuning to be a little more efficient, to require less fuel, that keeps you alive, which is why that survival mechanic is so persistent and is so frustrating when you're trying to lose weight. It does its job. So when you eat less, your body will acclimate to that. And that's why we encourage people to have times of scheduled upregulating, increased fueling, increased activity in step with increased fueling. All of the research now on exercise is indicating, that's why it's so relevant with long-term success. Because it's an enabling someone. It's not just about, I burned extra calories. It's enabling someone to lose weight without having to trigger such an extreme metabolic adaption response because they had to basically cut so much out of their diet to trigger that. That's what makes exercise so potent, in step with all the other benefits that are well documented. Everyone knows benefits of lean mass, vitality, strength, use, performance. All of that stuff comes along with exercise. So exercise is huge. And yes, I know this isn't what everyone wants to hear, but if you want your health and fitness goals to last, make sure that some level of exercise is present.
I love the quote from Coach Rick Pitino. He got this advice somewhere. He said, I like exercising before my brain wakes up and knows what the hell I'm doing. He's like, if I'm halfway through my workout and my brain finally wakes up. So that's why I like 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning. Don't love those hours, but I try to do it before.
I'll tell you something that'll shock you. I'll tell you something that'll shock you. So we scraped the data. This is real data with real clients that we've worked with. Believe it or not, what we found is that, well, okay, this part is very believable. Clients who exercise 3 to 4 days a week lost 34% more weight while following their MetPro periodization meal plan. Okay, so that makes sense, obviously. What may shock you is that the data we scraped, unfortunately, we weren't able to categorize just the nature of how our system was, the exact modality of exercise they did. So they asked me, Angela, do you still want this data? And I said, well, it's not what I really want. And it's not that I'm not going to get what I need. I said, yeah, give me the data anyway. And when I got it, I was shocked because here's what that means. Regardless of what exercise those clients were doing, they lost 34% more weight. What does that tell you? So you want to talk about, you know, I got a client right now. We're training for Kona. We have NFL players nerd out on the umpteenth degree of human performance. But for the average person who comes to me and is like, which way should I do, upright dumbbell rows or should I do rear delt flies? I'm like, start with just doing. Once you're doing and you're consistent, it's part of your regular routine, then we'll add to it. And that's why our coaches, the first thing they're going to talk with you about is routine, foundation, routine, foundation. We can always build. We got to make space for it so that way your health and prioritizing your wellness is part of your daily routine first. And once that's there, then we can build on it.
That's your foundation. So is your foundation built on certain times, let's talk modality before you wrap it up here.
That's going to be individual to the person because we all have different lifestyles and we all have different body types and goals. So it's, we're going to look at somebody's fitness history and personal culture that they already have going. And we're going to help figure out what the least painful adjustments we can make that will have the greatest return on investment. If somebody has the ability to start a routine where it's going to be some resistance training, some aerobic activity and spread it between 5 days a week, yes, we're going to start right out of the gate there. If somebody is significantly overweight and has a significant amount of body fat to lose, what we may do is say, okay, based on limited time available, we are going to focus aerobic activity until you have lost 5 to 6% of your body weight. And then we're going to substitute one cardio day for a resistance day. Mm. But see, there's no rules. There may be someone who is in good enough health and good enough shape to be able to do hybrid training where we can get 2 for the price of 1 in the same time they have available. So that's the benefits of actually working with a coach, having an expert that's in real time, having these conversations with you and directing you towards the most efficient approach. By and large, don't be an extremist. Balanced. Try and include some resistance training, some aerobic training. And that would be my somewhat canned response if somebody was asking me, where should I start without having their personal details?
Well, I know you guys are all about data. We talked about this in January. Jesse, my MetPro coach, encouraged me to look at more data. I told her that I probably wouldn't. So she put it right in front of me. And damn it, I looked at it. And what I found was I could start looking at those triggers myself. So because of our long history with MetPro, if you go to metpro.co/SB, you can get your own metabolic profile. Look at where that starting point is for you to go into what Angelo's been saying and have a complimentary consultation to talk about that and what kind of program they would set up for you or that you may end up doing on your own. But either way, I think it's a great benefit you guys offer our stackers, Angelo, to get people moving here. Everybody stopped in January doing their New Year's resolutions. And if you're one of those people and now it's April and you still haven't done it, I think it's probably time. Just get the data in front of you. So go to metpro.co/SB and get your free metabolic assessment and begin diving in there. Angelo, Thanks for sharing that with us.
Thanks, Joe. That was fun.
Well, and let's kind of wrap this up a little bit. All the stuff we hear works to some degree.
Right. Like
everything you said is, yeah, cutting carbs works. Yeah, cutting calories works. Yeah, working out works. But these levers are going to do different things. And man, they work massively better if you integrate them together.
You know, and that's why people, you know, they ask me, well, what do you, you have a fitness and nutrition program? And, you know, sometimes we refer to it that way, but I try and explain, no, this is really an education, because what we try to do is empower our clients, our listeners, to know what questions to ask and to identify what levers are relevant to them. You can Google, how do I lose weight? How do I get in better shape? And there's literally hundreds of thousands of opinions out there on the internet. And here's the tough part. It's not that 99% of them are wrong and one guy's telling the truth. No, no, no. There's every approach has worked for someone at some point. But if there's one thing the data has made crystal clear, is that everyone's body is going to respond a little bit different. So next steps, what we need to change with someone's diet, how many grams of carbs and proteins and fats and how we're going to reallocate them, need to be progressive and individual to the person if they want an optimal experience. And once you're in it, it's not rocket science. It is knowable.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the back porch. Through the miracle of time travel, finding the wormhole, I've brought in a couple.
That sounds gross.
I found him. I pulled in Joe and OG. We're gonna have a right proper back porch. Joe, we got a ton of things to cover. Let's talk about
just minding my own business and not get roped into this little circus. Just sitting here in the corner with a glass of bourbon and a cigar.
Sucked in through the wormhole. It's getting worse.
Promises, promises.
Oh, geez, like I managed to avoid this entire episode.
I know. I've avoided a lot of stuff lately, if anybody's noticed. Conveniently absent.
Well, we got him now. We got him now. Let's talk about, we've got a big thing coming up that I know you want to talk about, Joe. But before we get to that, how about we talk about some meetups we have coming up in a bunch of cities.
We are headed to Cleveland because Cleveland rocks. We still don't have a home for Cleveland. We will have it, though, next week.
Does anybody have a home in Cleveland?
my sister
does. Let's go to your sister's house, man.
That's what we should do.
But that would be epic. That's like in the middle of May, right?
It is May 14th in Cleveland. Boy, I sound great. May 14th in Cleveland.
Hey, sis. Good news. I'm here. Better news. So are these 30 other people.
And one of them brought a six pack.
I got good news and bad news, Nikki. The bad news is you're hosting. The good news is these are fun stackers that are coming out to your house. Yes. We do have a spot in Detroit. We are going to be at Green Path, which is where we've held events in Detroit. If you've been to our events in Detroit in the past, we'll be at Green Path, which is out in Farmington. We will provide the address for everybody, but it's going to be at 6:30 at night. All these events will be at 6:30 at night, but this will be in Farmington, a suburb of Detroit, on the 16th. So if you're anywhere close, just mark your calendar and come join us on May 16th.
And then we head west, young man.
Yes, Kalamazoo, where I grew up. We'll do a meetup in Kalamazoo on the 17th.
You aspired to grow up in Kalamazoo. You didn't grow up in Kalamazoo.
I didn't.
That was the big city for you.
It was the big city. I grew up in a little town south of Kalamazoo, but you know what? Yeah. Anyway, Kalamazoo, the big city of Kalamazoo, Michigan, will be there. So Grand Rapids people, come on down. You know, Doug, we had a lot of fun at Grand Rapids. We had a lot of fun.
Grand Rapids was an awesome group. Yeah.
Had a lot of fun in Kalamazoo. So come on down, GR people.
Kazoo's the 18th.
Yep. That will be on the 17th. Yeah.
Okay.
So make sure that we got that. And then the next week on Thursday night, the 23rd, we'll be in Boston. And I still don't have a spot in Boston. We're down to the final two, though. And we've had some great help from our friends, Carol Ann and Gretchen, who have been helping me find a spot there.
You have to go like to suburban Boston, like out to Springfield, Mass or something to get a spot?
Possibly. More there. We're looking at specifically Medford and I can't pronounce any of these names. People are going to yell at me. Waltham? Is it Waltham?
Waltham.
Worcestershire.
Yes. Right. Well, Medford is where we were on the book tour. We were at the Medford Library.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
There, that wasn't that fun for me to get to.
There's a microbrewery there that we're talking to, and then we're talking to one in Waltham, which is where my daughter is doing her master's out there. So
at the microbrewery? Yes.
That's what's going wrong. Can't figure it out. But she seems to be having a great time.
What else is going on in the Stacking Benjamins universe, Joseph?
Well, we got a big thing that I really don't want to talk about, and I know that people are wondering about. A couple weeks ago, we had a discussion about retiring at 62. It was a roundtable discussion featuring Paula Pant, Len Penzo, and Benjamin Brandt. We didn't hear from Benjamin much, but we certainly heard a lot. We heard a lot from Paula and Len. And man, did we have a big discussion about sabbaticals in the basement while I was in Nepal hiking, which is, by the way, where I got this cold that's affected my voice right now. I love the fact that we had so many people comment about that because of the fact that, you know, when we start sharing these ideas back and forth, you can see how we all don't have the same idea. We all have kind of a different take. And it was really neat to see all the different takes on this emotionally charged discussion that Paula and Len had. And I really appreciated everybody who decided to stop by either our Facebook group or the YouTube page. We saw it in the Afford Anything community as well. Everybody seemed to have an opinion on sabbaticals and your ability to take sabbaticals and whether you can do that or not. I wish we got this passionate about everything, about money. If we got this passionate all the time, guys, you know how great we'd all be with money?
We just get that passionate when there isn't money.
That's right. Yes. Right. And then we divorce. Yeah. But I do have some bad news out of that, which is Len Penzo's been with the show for 14 years, and partly because he's been here for 14 years and he hasn't been paid. We don't pay our contributors. We don't. They just show up and give their time. After 14 years, Len has decided to not come back to the show. So Len will be here from time to time, but will no longer be a frequent contributor to the show. And I'll just say this before people jump on online and give their two cents about what they think happened and either the quote justice or injustice of this is that Steve Stewart, our amazing engineer, Karen Repine, our incredible producer, and I, we took what was an 11-minute conversation and we played about 3 of it for you. So I will tell you this, you don't know what happened in that conversation. There was a lot more. Doug, you were there. There was a lot more that happened that we won't get into. And the reason why we cut it out was because it didn't feed the discussion any more than the 3 minutes that we gave you. So we won't be playing that more. But I do just want to tell people, you don't know the whole story. And I apologize that we're not going to be able to tell you the whole story. But I don't think that it serves anybody. I love Len Penzo. I'm so happy that he stayed with us for as long as he did. The fact that somebody stayed on our show for that long, I thought was pretty kick-ass. We will have, next week we go on break, and I do have some good news about our break, Doug. We're going to play not 3 shows as usual during our break. We're going to play 5 greatest hit shows. We're going to go.
Does the intern know this?
I know. He's going to be, he unfortunately is the last guy to know.
He's going to have to reschedule some kickball games, I think.
Mom's backyard. Yeah. It's going to be a whole different deal, but we're going 5 days a week, this time around on Greatest Hits Week. So you're welcome. More stuff from us. We certainly have plenty of shows that you can go back and listen to. And we got so many shows that, you know, when I look at the numbers, some shows get big hits, get a lot of people that listen to them. Others don't get so many. And when you actually listen to these episodes, they're shows that deserve to be listened to even more. So I'm super happy that we're going to be playing those next week.
I think I can fairly predict that if we're doing our jobs, we're going to create more, vigorous discussions like we've had in the past. We'll probably have more of those because we want people to really dig deep on thinking about their financial future and what is meaningful to them. So, yeah.
It's our goal. It is our goal.
So you'll probably hear more of that, I would suspect.
Potentially. Not that we're going to try for that. We don't want to create that situation.
No, and I certainly don't want people at each other's throat, right? We don't want that, but we do want to reach that place that we got to where money's a little emotionally charged. Because it isn't about the math of money all the time. It's often about the emotion and how we do the wrong thing emotionally. We let our emotions run the day. So if we can get to that point, I think that's very helpful. We will talk about how we're replacing Len Monday that we get back. So in this segment of the show, on Monday that we get back, we'll have our announcement of our new contributor. So I'm super excited about where we head from here. And we should also say that, OG, maybe, I don't know. You've been thinking about leaving the show.
Wait, what?
What are you talking about?
What, you can't just drop that bomb.
I was just trying to get him in the discussion.
Don't even crack the window for him.
I know.
Jeez. OG, come back.
Wait, I can leave? I didn't know that was an option.
Wait a minute. Len got to do it?
Whoa. Why does Len get to leave? I've been here longer than Len.
I know.
He's starting a side gig of, I think, squirrel feeder porn, isn't he?
Right. That's exactly right. Only squirrels.
He's full into retirement. He's got his new side gig. It's New Horizons.
His Only Squirrels account. So, all right. That's what's going on the back porch. Hope you guys can join us in Cleveland, Detroit, Kalamazoo, Boston. Hopefully, OG, you're at all those events. And Doug, what should we have learned today?
Well, Joe, what's stacked up on our to-do list for today? First, take some advice from our roundtable. Your phone can literally suck the life out of you. Consider turning off all forms of notifications. That darn thing is tough enough to ignore. We don't need it barking at us to pick it up. Second, take some advice from Angelo Poli. What good is your money if you aren't healthy enough to enjoy it? Put systems in place for your phone and your health, and you'll be well on your way to enjoying those Benjamins. But what's the biggest to-do? I gotta do a podcast with Major League Baseball or something. Their budgets are just a skosh bigger than ours. Thanks to Dana Ansbach, you can find more about Dana at sensiblemoney.com. We'll also include links in our show notes at stackingbenjamins.com. Thanks to Rob Berger for coming on the show. You can find more about Rob at robberger.com. Wow, Rob, pretty unique URL there. Thanks to... I mean, he just teed it up for me. I had to take a swing. See, more with the baseball theme. Thanks to Paula Pant for hanging out with us today. You'll find her fabulous podcast, Afford Anything, wherever you listen to the finer podcasts. This show is the property of SB Podcasts, LLC, copyright 2024, and is created by Joe Salcihi. Our producer is Karen Repine. Karen and Joe get help from a few of our neighborhood friends. You'll find out about our awesome team at stackingbenjamins.com, along with the show notes and how you can find us on YouTube and all the usual social media spots. Come say hello. Oh yeah, and before I go, not only should you not take advice from these nerds, don't take advice from people you don't know. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any financial decisions, speak with a real financial advisor. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and we'll see you next time back here at the Stacking Benjamin Show.